This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill from the Odds Breakers will join us. We will go over everything that happened Wild Card Weekend. Recording this right now, part one is Bucks Commanders is taking place. So part one here will be a reaction to the first four or so games of Wild Card Weekend. Part two will be reacting to Commanders Bucks. We'll look ahead to Monday Night Football with Kev. And Vikings Rams, look ahead to next week, maybe some Notre Dame Ohio State, as we do have a final set in college football. But I will start with the first four games of the weekend so far, and pretty similar to the college football where you come in after those games and you say, man, not a lot in terms of compelling games. Philly Green Bay deserved better. That was the most competitive of the four, and boy, if you're Green Bay now, look, you weren't winning next week with all the injuries you suffered, all your receivers getting hurt. Looks like Jacobs got banged up, the offensive line was a mess. But man, if you bet Green Bay plus the points, if you're a Packer fan, you deserve better, because that was a completely ridiculous call to start that game. How you give Philly the ball there in that scenario, I have no idea. It looked clearly like Green Bay had recovered the fumble. Then they give it to Philly, and they say, well, there's nothing to over. There's no evidence to overturn. You know, you don't have any definitive whatever. Just a terrible job by Brad Allen, who's a lousy ref. His crew is lousy. They called a couple really soft personal fouls towards the end of the game that didn't matter. But look, Philly answered every time they had to. When Green Bay finally got points to cut it to 10-3, they went on a drive, scored a touchdown. Green Bay answered again. Philly answered again. So Philly scored every time they had to. There was a long stretch where they didn't do much. Hurts looked rusty. Looked like maybe there's still some, you know, rust, some ramifications from the concussion. But every time Philly needed to respond, they did. Philly moves on. And that was really the most competitive of the games. The other ones, and you just go through these one by one here. The early one on Saturday, Chargers, it was interesting. Chargers were in control early, up 6-0. Felt like they should have been up more. Then it was a 3rd-and-16. Houston takes over at their own one, and they eventually get a 3rd-and-16 deep in their own territory. It's a bad snap, and it has disaster written all over it. Stroud recovers. Looks like maybe he's just going to throw it away. Maybe he's just going to dive on it to avoid disaster. He throws a completion. Houston ends up scoring on that drive to go up 7-6, add another field goal before the end of the half to go up 10-6, and they dominated from that point forward. So, you know, you always wonder these swinging doors moments. If that play ends in disaster, if Stroud doesn't recover the fumble, or if, you know, whatever happens in favor of the Chargers on that drive, on that possession, does that game go differently? But bottom line, the Chargers were just awful. Herbert was bad, and I'm a Herbert fan, a Herbert apologist. Herbert was not good in the game. He has built himself now a reputation for not being good in these big games, not being good in the playoffs. I know he's still a young player and he doesn't have a lot around him, but this is starting to mount a little bit in terms of like, all right, is Herbert everything that the people say he is? You know, in terms of being one of the elite players in the league, I'm not sure. We're like 5 years in now, hasn't won a playoff game, him and Tua. There's always a lot of parallels between those two because of the same draft class and the controversy of who Miami should have picked. Well, we're 5 years in. Neither one has a playoff win, which I find interesting. But overall, good year for the Chargers. Was kind of a rebuild year. They get rid of some of the older talent. They're good along the offensive line. They just need to pick up some weapons, pick up some pieces on defense. I think with Herbert and Harbaugh, they are in for a good next 4 or 5 years when they add some weapons. I still think Herbert's a good quarterback. Harbaugh's obviously a good coach. So all in all, a good year for the Chargers. A disappointing end. And it does make me think, when you look forward to this Rams-Vikings game on Monday, these guys are human beings. They have real lives, families and kids and schools, everything with the fire. Does it disrupt their preparation? Does it disrupt, you know, just in terms of a distraction? Because the Chargers were so bad in this game, even after being up, you know, 6-0 early, and it felt like they should have been up more. It does make you have a little concern about the Rams with how bad the Chargers played on Monday. So that is the scenario with the Texans and the Chargers. Texans move on to play the Chiefs. Chiefs laying 8. The Chiefs are going to be in every tease known to man, including with the other AFC game where the Ravens, Bills, you can still get some Bills. -1.5, which would give you an option to tease the Ravens up to 7.5. I said last week how Ravens Bills was an obvious teaser, but just because it's obvious doesn't mean it's going to win. Well, I would say the same about the Chiefs Ravens. To me, Chiefs and Ravens is a very obvious teaser leg, and one I would like to have in the account if you can get that 7.5 with the Ravens, because to me, that's a toss up game. I actually probably lean towards the Ravens side more than anything. And, you know, getting the Ravens plus the extra score here, where you can basically lose the game by a touchdown and still cover your teaser. Man, a Ravens-Chiefs teaser does look good. As far as that Ravens-Steelers game, I've talked about this with Tomlin and this was the Saturday night game. This game was over pretty quickly too. Boy, do you ever get sick of this if you're Pittsburgh? Talked about this in the summer with them. Talked about this last year when they signed Wilson and had the whole Fields thing, and they did a little better than I thought, but ultimately it's the same as it's been where, okay, you squeeze out a winning season, and then what? You lose in the playoffs, you're not competitive, and then you just run it back. It's a little Jeff Fisher in Tennessee-ish, where it's just like every year you do the same thing. You're a little over 500, you're mediocre, a little better than mediocre, but you're ultimately not a threat to win anything of substance. And I saw this stat with Tomlin, his last playoff win coming in 2016. Mike Mularkey has won a game as the head coach more recently than Mike Tomlin. Mike Mularkey of the 2017 Titans. So I don't know where you go if you're Pittsburgh. I know there's whispers now and people starting to say, man, do you fire Tomlin? Do you move on? Do you trade him? Probably not. They love their stability. They love being competent. So they probably just run it back. But you do wonder, man, you're in an AFC with Mahomes and Lamar and Allen and Burrow. You gotta swing for the fences a little bit with a quarterback. I know they drafted Pickett a few years ago. Didn't work out. But you wonder just, man, you're just spinning your wheels here, and it's the same old cycle with the Steelers. And you wonder if you're the Steelers fans. I know the Steelers fans are getting sick of it. I wonder if the Steelers organization says, man, it's time to dust it up, time to mix it up here, time to shake it up, even if it means, hey, we swing for the fences and it ends up in a 5-11 season, 5-12 season, but at least we're picking high enough to draft a quarterback. Just feels like they are really, really in purgatory with Pittsburgh. As we go through some of these games here and some of the autopsies of the losing teams are sometimes as interesting as, you know, the winning teams. Again, these games were not that interesting, at least a few games in. Broncos Bills is about what we expect. Broncos hit a 50-yard touchdown pass early on to Franklin. After that, it was all Bronco. It was all Bills from that point on. Again, same thing with the Chargers. Great year for the Broncos. Absolutely fantastic year. Completely exceed your expectations. They get into the playoffs. They're overmatched. And you move on. You know what? You get ready for next year. It doesn't mean that just because you took a step forward or two this year doesn't mean you're going to automatically take another step forward next year and be an 11 or 12 win team. But you got a coach, you got a quarterback. And I thought Peyton was bad on Sunday. Bad. In terms of just some of the game management decisions, when to punt, things like that. I didn't think he had a good game at all. But you got a coach, you got a quarterback who's at least adequate. You got a decent roster, so you can feel pretty good about where you are if you are Denver, even though you're in a tough division, a tough conference. And by the way, just going through some of my notes here, I like Herbstreit, but he's doing the game Saturday night, and he starts talking about how the Ravens are going to play the Texans in the next round. I know he has a lot on his plate. I know he's got the college game on Friday, gets in late Saturday morning. He's probably groggy. He's got a lot to do. Every football fan in America knows if the Ravens and Bills win like they're supposed to, they play in the second round. You cannot start talking about, oh, the Ravens get the Texans next. That'll be an interesting matchup. And Michaels, who's 80 years old, has to correct him and go, well, actually, it's probably going to be Ravens-Bills. Then Kirby goes, oh, wow, Ravens-Bills, that'll be a hell of a game. I mean, you got to have a little more. I know he's a college guy to begin with, but you have a little more detail in your preparation than what Herbstreit did. That's a terrible job by Herbstreit. I mean, that's embarrassing. Let's be honest. And again, I like Herbstreit. That's embarrassing. To have that come out of your mouth on national TV is really, really an embarrassment. But and the other thing, too, just sort of big picture here, is we'll talk to Kevin in a minute. I feel like we're seeing this in all these sports. Man, you probably don't need 14 NFL teams in the playoffs. You probably don't need 12 college football teams. The expansion in all of these sports and all of these playoffs is somewhat unnecessary, because you end up with the games aren't as good. You're just putting extra teams in just for extra teams, just for extra revenue, for extra games. And I kind of like it as a fan, as a bettor. It's more to watch. It's more to bet on. But in terms of like a quality of like, hey, we're putting only the elite of the elite in the playoffs. And not that that was always the case, even with 12, but you get the idea. When you start to widen who you put out and you're less exclusive about your playoffs, and the NBA puts in play-in teams, like you need the 9th and 10th team in the East and the West to participate in postseason. Baseball puts an extra team. All these sports are adding extra teams. I'm surprised the NCAA tournament used to be 64. Now it's 68. I'm sure they'll add more at some point. Just because, hey, it's more money. There's the live rights pay a lot. It's not always great for the product, for the playoffs. Once these games actually take place, it doesn't actually give you more good games. So we'll see if Tampa Washington brings us anything good. We'll look forward to Monday night Rams Vikings again. I was on the Rams. I still think the Rams win. It does make me like the Rams less with how bad the Chargers were, this idea that there's some distraction, but I do think it's a tough spot for Minnesota, who had every chance in the world to get the one seed. Now you turn around and you have to win three games. It's not three on the road anymore, but it's three games at least away from home. And the fact that Green Bay lost does mean you are going to be on the road here, at least for, you know, the first and the second round if you can win. So this idea that you can, you know, steal some home games in the second round, that went out the window with Green Bay losing. So still like the Rams, but I do like it a little less with this whole, you know, predicament that the Rams are in. The game's not in LA. There's some distraction for the Rams. So I still like the Rams. I think it's a tough spot for Minnesota. I think they're flawed defensively. You can pressure Darnold. The Rams have gotten a lot of pressure recently. So I do think the Rams win a close game, a high scoring game on Monday night. But when we come back, we'll break down Commanders and the Bucs. We'll look ahead to Monday night. We'll look ahead to next week. Maybe talk some Ohio State Notre Dame with Kev O'Neill. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. And the Commanders have moved on. 23-20, a doinked-in field goal, which if you rewatch it, man, you wonder how he even banked in because it looked like the ball was just heading outside of the upright. Takes a good bounce. And the Commanders, for the first time in 2005, are on to the next round with a win in the postseason. Five of the six teams are in. Five of the six games have been decided here as we wait for Minnesota and the Rams. And to discuss all of it, it's our buddy from the Odds Breakers. It is the great Kev O'Neill. Kev, what's up, man? How's it going? How was your weekend?
Oh, what's going on, man? It's a pleasure to be back. Weekend was great. You know, how January is. It's one of those months where you're just kind of slowing down finally. Finally, there's less college football, but you know, there's college basketball, but you know, it's less and less games here, my man. I'm happy. It's nice down here in Arizona, and we're going to be hosting a big game tomorrow, it seems.
Yes, and we will get to that. I just want to go back to a couple things here from Wild Card Weekend. Sure. I could have spent a little more time on it in the beginning. I meant to kill him a little more. I was very disappointed in the Packers and Love this year. Not disappointed because it's not like I root for them, but they played the Lions twice, the Eagles twice, the Vikings twice. They went 0-6. Love, to me, is completely overrated. Look, he's a good quarterback. Most teams would rather have him than not, but no touchdowns, three interceptions. I know his receivers got beat up, but where are you at with the Packers and Love? And I know you're always going crazy about the officials. How ridiculous was that call to start the game?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right in the head helmet right down there, right? It's the fumble. You know, it was a game I expected. I didn't want to lay it with the Eagles, but that was my lean. I should have, I guess, played the Eagles because my number said to the inclination. Yeah, Love is not good chasing. You know, the Packers are good playing from a lead because they're just one of those good coaches, you know. And I said last week, when you were on the show, it's like, I believe that coaches get you to the playoffs, but you need a quarterback to get through the playoffs partnered with that coach. And I don't think that Jordan Love is really a franchise quarterback, even though they paid him like a franchise quarterback. Now, I will say that LaFleur made some dumb decisions playing his starters last week into the second quarter when they lost their top receiver, but the receivers kind of dropped out throughout the rest of the game. But then Philly had some bad luck on the injury side as well. But Love can't really play catch up. There was a couple times he should have took off running and he didn't. He threw that one to the side. He's a little bit inaccurate. I mean, he's accurate at times, just not often enough. And that's what it is. You know, it's a situation where they're stuck with him now, and he needs to get better. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot to pay in Green Bay.
Yeah. And you know, if you had Green Bay, I don't know if you had the wrong side because, man, you just gave away 10 points with special teams. I guess 9 because Philly missed a point after 2. But, you know, right off the bat, the 7. And then, you know, you miss a really makeable kick with McManus, who's been good. So it's not like if you had Green Bay, you know, you add those 10 points. That was a pretty evenly matched game, a pretty evenly played game for most of it. So if you had Green Bay, I don't know if you had the wrong side.
I think that the Eagles kind of just fluttered for a while, you know. Then they just went a lot of three and outs kind of in the middle of that game between the second quarter to the fourth quarter. It was, I've seen it before. You know, they had some really bad injury luck though with now N'Kobe Dean. It looks, I mean, with the way he's carted off that field, he's the Mike leader of that team. You know, I mean, I assign the Mike linebacker a point and a half probably usually on most teams to punish that injury. And I'm really concerned for the Eagles now. And you saw how Jacobs ran all over him. That was the only way he scored a touchdown, was Jacobs because of that injury, in my opinion. So I'm going to be thinking about that injury throughout the playoffs here, and you know, seeing who they're going to be matched up against, obviously in the next one. But obviously, with the Commanders here, we thought it'd be maybe a Vikings or Rams match up against the Lions, and it looks like it's going to be the Commanders.
It is going to be the Commanders and the Lions, and we have some look-ahead lines to get to for the divisional round. But I just wanted to pick your brain quickly on the game of the weekend. Was the game that we just got done watching. Commanders win the game 23-20. Bucks get a stop, but Baker Mayfield gives it right back. And you know, Washington just kept going for it. Give them credit. They had their philosophy. They say, hey, we're going to go for it. We're going to go down swinging. It ends up working where they finally connect with McLaurin. Takeaways from this game in what was by far the most exciting game of the weekend.
Yeah. The takeaway really is that I don't think either of these teams really are going to go far anyway. It's kind of like just who's going to face the Lions, you know, who's going to face the next round. You know, in my opinion, I thought they were both going to be a beat anyway. I expected a close game. You know, as you know, we took three in the hook on Monday. That hook kind of left quickly with Washington. I thought it was going to be a field goal game. Now that Baker Mayfield fumble really was, did it all. And, you know, I'm not sure if it was more him or the receiver, the way he acted like it was him. It was supposed to be a fake end around to the receiver, but, you know, he did it. And that was right after his defense made a massive stop. And then it took another fourth down for Washington to get there. And Washington, for somehow their drives, they always have fourth downs in them and they always seem to get them. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a big part of that. But, you know, could Jaden Daniels be a little tricky for the Lions? Maybe. The Lions should not be 10.5. I just saw it open at 7.5. I think that's closer to where it should be. And, you know, if that guy lower, I would probably start looking towards the Lions.
Yeah, and the look-ahead lines here, not even look-ahead lines, these are the lines for the coming week, and it starts to hit you that this past weekend, wild card weekend, this Sunday, the last time we have Sunday football at 1 o'clock Eastern, because these games are all a little later on Sunday. You get the 3 o'clock Eastern start, but I'll just read them off to you. Chiefs laying 8.5 to the Texans, Lions laying 8.5 to the Commanders, Bills laying 1.5 to the Ravens. So boy, you've got some very juicy, very enticing teaser legs. Outside of that though, anything straight up where, hey, I want to take or leave the points with any of these.
I like the Texans a little bit just because the line's a little off. I don't have the Chiefs as a top four team. Here's the thing, that the Texans just played the Chiefs and I looked at that box score between games today, and they're both at the same in yards per attempt, both per 5.4 yards per play, I should say. And the Chiefs did outgain them a little bit in yards, but I feel like something kind of snapped with the Texans when they played that last game and they started winning with their second string and they really gained a lot of motivation. And I think that's what this team's running on. And, you know, now guys like John Mechie has kind of got his feet wet as being the second or third receiver there, right? It's a little bit different now. I don't know when Deontay Johnson's going to get running, but I'm not a big believer in the Chiefs. And I think that Andy Reid's fine with winning by 3 points, but I grabbed the 8.5 just based upon the value that I believe it's going to go down to 7.5 and possibly 7. Now, I will say that I am going to say that teaser leg of Detroit and Kansas City going down past the 3 is going to be very popular this week. And hell, I might even play it, Will. I truly believe that Detroit's going to win, and I think that Kansas City's going to win. I didn't really get into the X's and O's of a handicap yet of the game. But that certainly looks like a one of the big ones. And now the Bills are laying 1.5 plus 100. The truth is the pick 'em line is minus 110 on each side here on DraftKings, and that's where I'm looking. This is more of a pick 'em game, but DraftKings always puts a line up with one side juice. I'm not going to bet on Lamar in the playoffs this deep because he hasn't proven anything yet. You know, it's one of those situations where I have Baltimore as my number one team and I have Buffalo as my number two team. This reminds me of the same quarterfinals we saw with Ohio State versus Oregon. I thought those were the number one and number two teams. Now you have the number one and number two team in my power ratings at Baltimore and Buffalo playing in the quarterfinals in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I thought of something different too, because usually this time of year, this round, the division round, the Bills playing the marquee game, and they're playing it again, Bills versus Ravens. But usually it's the Bills versus the Chiefs, and like, man, the winner of this is probably going to, either go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. It's just kind of flipped now, where they're still in the game you want to see, the must-see game, but now they're playing the Ravens. And to me, Ravens plus 7.5 is a teaser. Like, man, I mean, you could say Lamar's had his questions in big games, but if you have a book where they're 1.5 and you can get them up to 7.5, I know it's not like the perfect teaser leg because the total's high at 51.5, but geez, you figure Baltimore either wins the game or keeps it in one score.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not paying too much juice on the teaser and you can still get the 1.5, a lot of books go teasers protect them. They'll go to 9.5 minus 125 or minus 120 just so it's not 8.5. So a lot of offshore books do teaser protection. I don't lay set. Don't do a 7-point teaser if you don't have to. I think that it's just looking at the Ravens, it's a no-duh teaser if you can get the minus 120 or better on the side.
Yep, totally agree. All right, the Monday night game. Vikings laying 2.5 now to the Rams. Game is in Arizona, your neck of the woods here. Would it concern you how bad the Chargers played? Figured, hey, there's a human element here where these teams in LA, they've been dealing with distraction. Now this game, the venue changes. And look, these players are humans. They have families and lives and kids and schools, job. There's real life distraction. Preparation takes a hit. Does that factor into your handicapping? And what's your general thought here? Vikings laying a couple points to the Rams.
Yes, it does. I really think it does. I'm not sure if that happened with the Chargers. It was more Justin Herbert throwing those picks,
Oh, he was bad.
but they were outgained too by in yards, and there's a lot of boneheaded mistakes that happened last weekend on a lot of sides. It's just so funny. I don't understand what Tomlin was doing punting. I had the over in that game, and once he punted from the 50 down a couple scores, it's just like seriously, you're surrendering. Just getting into that, it's hard to trust the Houston Texans coach too. But here's the Rams. We're talking about Rams Vikings. I was on the Rams side, and this switch happened, and I think the Vikings are going to overwhelm the stadium. And there's another psychological factor, Will, that they're going to their opponent's stadium. It's not just a random stadium. It's their opponent's stadium. They're going to get the same feel of that. I'm thinking of all this, and all my friends are Viking fans because I went to Madison, but I just somehow made best friends with a bunch of guys from Minnesota, and they're all coming down here. And I have friends that already live down here. Dude, Minnesota is going to literally have a much bigger crowd there. I can guarantee it here, watching the ticket sales and everything that's happening. That really changes things for me. I tease the Rams, and I'm trying to figure out a way out of it right now. So there's a chance I can try to take a side with the Vikings and hopefully set up a middle. But I'm flipping a little bit on my idea. I didn't play a side on this. I didn't play a total, but now I think the Vikings will win this game. I also think that the fact that the Vikings look so bad the last couple of weeks, a lot of people are doubting them.
That has crossed my mind too, where everyone seemed to pick them against Detroit, and now that everyone they screw everybody over. Now everyone's picking the Rams, which look, I'll raise my hand. I was on the Rams side too. And I hate to flip flop, but this whole relocating the game does make me have less enthusiasm for the Rams. And what you're adding is a good nugget as someone, and you live in Arizona, right? So you've got a good feel for this.
Absolutely. My next door neighbor works for Arizona Cardinals, and it's pretty high up, and he tells me a lot of information, which is nice. But I'll tell you that it's just a situation where I can't see a bunch of people from the Rams traveling where they didn't think they had to before. They're probably thinking about other things with the awful devastation that's
Good point.
happening to their city. It's not like they're going to go to a football game when LA was already very, hard pressed to watch football. USC doesn't even fill up. Yeah, it's just a situation where everything's adding up in the Vikings way. And I love Sean McVay, but O'Connell is a great coach too. And I think this is just going to be a game where the Vikings were embarrassed the last couple of weeks, and they're going to come and possibly stick it to the Rams.
You hinted at it, Tomlin. What do you do if you're the Steelers? Like, because you're in this rut here of, all right, we make the playoffs. We're better than, you know, 60% of the teams that ask a Jet fan how he'd like to make the playoffs or the Bears about making the playoffs. It's something to make the playoffs and be over 500. But, like, what is the path here to, like, getting to not even winning a Super Bowl, getting to an AFC title game and an AFC that's loaded? It just feels like the Steelers are stuck. They're in purgatory. Man, I can't see them firing Tomlin, but what do you do here? Where do you start if you're Pittsburgh and trying to get out of this rut?
Well, I've been saying for years that Tomlin is overrated in a way that you know, here's the thing. If you're 300 pounds overweight and you lose 100 pounds, you're still 200 pounds overweight. It's almost like that situation. If like the Bears hire Tomlin, I'd be like, why would you hire a guy that's not going to go to the promised land? I don't like purgatory, Will. I'd rather be bad and then figure it out and get good. Of course, I'm going to complain and everything in the offseason, but I want a really legit shot at winning a Super Bowl, man. And going to the playoffs all these years in a row, hasn't won since, what, 2016? Has it been over 8 or 9 years since he won in the playoffs? What is so good about that? And then you see the man just making bad clock management decisions. You know you're not stopping the Ravens. You just punted to them. You know, you're in the middle of the field. You're not stopping them anyway. It might even be better that they hurry up and hit a field goal, you know? He makes some boneheaded choices. I am noticing, though, in general, that teams are making better choices, and we can get into that in a minute. But back on Tomlin, no, I think you have to move on from Tomlin. It doesn't make sense to keep making the playoffs and not doing anything. Not saying they have a franchise quarterback yet, but hopefully they'll soon get one.
Yeah, and I don't think they will. Look, I've been completely with you, Tomlin, overrated the 9-8 every year and getting stomped in the playoffs. That being said, they're a loyal organization. They value continuity. So, man, the problem, you got to figure out a way to just swing for the fences at the quarterback. And you know what? If you strike out, you end up with the third or fourth pick, and then you can maybe draft one. If you hit a home run, then you know what? You're in good shape. But this rent a quarterback where you're going for the bargain basement guys here and going for these deals, Russell Wilson and Fields. It's just, man, it's not working. So I imagine they probably just run it back, but it's hard. It feels like they're just spinning their wheels here.
Absolutely. And you're not going to get anywhere until you get a guy that knows how to figure out analytics. And that's what I was going to say a little bit about, you know, Dan Quinn was down 4 points and I'm worried about my 3.5, of course, at the time, but he's on the 4th and 4. He went for the touchdown with 14 minutes left. Maybe the field goal at that point was a coin toss, but he went for the touchdown. And I'm starting to notice maybe the reason that these favorites are covering is because teams are like, I don't care about losing by 1 or 4 or 5. I need to make this touchdown here because that's what the my best chance of winning says. It's my percentage win. It says 54% I'm going to win. And everyone needs an analytics guy. But just watching that makes me think maybe laying those 4.5 points ain't so bad with the Eagles. Maybe, you know, laying points in some situations where you really like the side and it's just not quite to get into the 3. A lot of these teams are not kicking the field goal. And I think that's not necessarily wrong. I'm just noticing more coaches doing it, Will.
Yeah. And of course, you get that revisionist history from the people who are anti-analytics of take the points and take the 3. When it doesn't work, they scream about it. But no, I'm with you. These, you know, these teams, the more generally, when in doubt, be aggressive. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. When in doubt, be aggressive. But, you know, once again, you see these favorites, the big favorites, the 2-7, they covered. You know, look what happens with the Denver. They got smoked. And Sean Payton didn't even challenge that catch in the fourth quarter.
He had a bad game.
I mean, I cannot believe he did it. That was not a fun game to watch in the second half. And the Denver even scored first, you know. And, you know, it's just a situation where a lot of these coaches are either making bad mistakes or – and you figure Sean Payton's been around for such a long time. But, you know, the 2-7s didn't even really sniff a cover. The Eagles had total control of that game, and so did the Bills, Will.
Last one before we let you go. College football, Notre Dame, Ohio State, two good semifinal games. Ohio State laying 9.5 in the final. Feels a little bit inflated, but they're just daring you to step in front of this Ohio State freight train. They could have easily lost or, you know, not covered against Texas. Do you have a take here? Do you have a bet in terms of the final?
Absolutely, man. It's now 8.5 on DraftKings. I said right away when the line came out that this is too high and it's going to come down now. There's some books that said 10. I didn't see any 10s. I would have grabbed a 10. I'm not going to pay for a 10, though, Will. Here's the thing, Sagarin, right? Jeff Sagarin, he's pretty well respected in the marketplace, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
He has this a 2.5 point game on a neutral field.
Wow.
He has Ohio State better by 2.5 points. Now that's the closest one I saw, but team rankings is around 3.5 points. ESPN's FBI is like maybe 4 points or so. Why is this line so different from these efficiency sites, as well as the recency bias? Maybe the books are just afraid that everyone's just going to start pounding Ohio State if you lay a 7. But the truth is I have, just like Sagarin, just like team ranking, I have Notre Dame as my second best team, and I had them last week as my second best team, and I had them the week before as my second best. I had them better in Texas. I laid 6 with Ohio State, but I think the number should be 6 with Notre Dame. I wouldn't, if it was 6, I wouldn't bet a side. I wouldn't be laying it with Ohio State. But now I'm seeing a 9.5. I absolutely took that. There's some intangibles here with Al Golden, and I think he's going to figure out Chip Kelly a little bit. And, I think that Notre Dame, even though they don't have the passing upside, they are number one in opponent QBR in the whole nation. They know what they're doing. Marcus Freeman has really surprised me. This team knows how to get it together and they just figure it out. And I got to tell you, I am just so impressed with the way they're doing things and the way they get through injuries. They have just a lot of guys reloaded on that offensive line. I'm not quite as worried about that. I think their rushing attack with Love and Price might be just as good as Travion Henderson. I just think that this should not be 9.5. I think Notre Dame is live here. I do think Ohio State wins, but that's too many points. You saw what, and also, how did this line go to 10, Will? When just a second ago, Texas almost tied it. And then Sark does this stupid pitch to the left. And then the fumble 7 happens. And it's a bit of a misleading final score because Ohio State only outgained them by 29 yards. So all of a sudden, you're going to lay 10 in this situation. It makes no sense to me. I think this line should keep going down. I think 6 is a perfect number. I like Notre Dame and the Irish to cover.
All right, but you think Ohio State probably wins the game? Or you give Notre Dame a good chance to pull it off?
Well, it's Ohio State. This is football. Ohio State can win by 20, or Notre Dame could win it all. If Notre Dame wins, it's going to be very close. If Ohio State wins, I think it's going to be close, but there's a chance. Obviously, this is why we bet. We think just you adjust the line from where your line is. You think it's off. I think Ohio State should win the game. Absolutely, they have the skill to do it. But it would not shock me if you see one of those Chip Kelly and Ryan Day stinkers, and you're just scratching your head, what the hell happened at the end while Riley Leonard and Marcus Freeman is hoisting the trophy. So that could absolutely happen. And whenever I take a spread that's this far off, I put a little bit on the money line too. I got plus 330 just because if that's off, so is the money line.
Good point. Good point, Kev. Awesome stuff, man. Appreciate you staying up. Fun time of the year. Only a handful of football games left. We got what, four? So seven in the NFL, one college. So we are down to eight football games left. Hard to believe, huh?
Oh my God, it's so close, man. It's coming. It's rounding the corner. I know. Next week we get what, four of them? I was hoping you'd fly down to Arizona here, maybe try to see your Vikings, a little last minute ordeal. That'd be fun. If that was the case, I'd have to come meet you.
Yeah, I just, man, I still don't have a great feeling about it. Darnold was so bad last week. If there's like a 10, 15% carryover to next week, to from last week to Monday night, man, and the kicker hasn't been good. So you're giving me some hope here with the Vikings that, hey, it's going to be a Vikings crowd, but I don't know. My guard is up with this team as always.
Well, it's like I always say, man, when they look bad the last week, they're embarrassed. They're going to come to play the next week.
Yeah, you're the man. Let everyone know they can find you.
Check us out at theoddsbreakers.com. We'll have multiple podcasts this week. College basketball is rolling. We just went 2-1 today. So, keep following us for information. And Will, once again, thank you so much for having me on this wonderful show.
Appreciate the time, man. Thanks. All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Wednesday. College football, national title game, divisional round, a lot to do pretty soon. Start turning the page here, do a little more basketball. baseball previews, college basketball, NBA. So got to enjoy football while we can, though. Talk to you Wednesday. See you then.